Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed.
I don't. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Cantina here on the Genreverse YouTube channel and Genreverse Podcast Network, available on all your favorite podcast apps. It's been a while, guys, since you've heard from myself, Kyle, and my co-pilot here, Cam. We had life issues, and also, we'll just go with life issues, because that was pretty much it. I was going to say there was nothing to talk about, but I think that was just 1 week, and then we've just been unable to talk about stuff.
A little bit. And, you know, we had just kind of come off, obviously, we did a Star Wars Visions review.
Yeah, we did our Visions. That was the last one, yep.
And then we had obviously done all Mandalorian as well. So, you know, it was just time for a little bit of a break from Star Wars before we get into what comes next. You know?
And
there is Visions some stuff coming up.
Yeah, I was going to say, Visions Volume 2 had its issues. It was not as magical as Volume 1. And then you look at The Mandalorian Season 3, which was mediocre at best.
At best,
it's mediocre. And then you go back and you hit Andor, and you're like, okay, yeah, sure, that was good. And then you get to Kenobi.
It was about more than good.
Boba Fett.
And, it was about more than good.
It was great. But I'm just, you know, going on.
I know what you mean.
And it's just like, man, Star Wars is at that point now, even on the TV side, where you're almost getting at more misses than hits. When you start thinking, okay, you know, things aren't
well, from
quite
our
as
point
hot
of
as
view,
we thought. Yeah, from our point of
different
view.
Different people will see those shows differently. The ones, hey, man, there's people out there that their favorite show that they've done in Star Wars is Book of Boba Fett. So far.
I know. Okay. I've heard some people say Season 3 of Mandalorian is the best, and I'm just like,
what?
Guys, they really get checked for tumors in the head. But,
yeah, I mean, I'm really struggling with that, considering how kind of good some of the previous stuff's been. But, you know, there will always
to each their own.
Yeah,
but it does. It brings us into the discussion of you know, what does come next. We know we've got Ahsoka coming up. It was even said summer of this year, and now there's a rumor,
I mean,
Cam.
We kind of even knew probably August, right? So that's the truth, that we kind of knew it was coming in August. But there was an actual date appeared on Disney Movie Insiders, which is a Disney page, and someone noticed the other day there that Ahsoka was listed as August 31st. That has since been deleted. Put out a, you know, we're recording this ahead of time, you know, and
excuse me,
but for when you guys are watching it, so maybe by the time you watch it, I've written that story, which I'm writing after this and putting it out there. LRMonline.com connect, and you know, there's a link on there, but the link doesn't go anywhere now. But, you know, from what I'm hearing amongst the community, that's what it said. It said August 31st. However, what I would say is that quite a lot of people within the kind of rumours sort of part of the industry as well don't really believe that that is necessarily the date, and that it may just have been a placeholder. Mm-hmm. For a start, August 31st is a Thursday, and outside of May the 4th, which was a Thursday this year, and we got a couple of small things that dropped on May the 4th. We haven't really ever got Disney Plus content dropping on a Thursday. It was always Friday, then it switched to Wednesday, and now we've had the odd Friday again.
Well, Marvel went to Thursdays with She-Hulk.
When did they go to Thursday?
Marvel to separate. I don't remember if it was Miss Marvel was the first one or not, but I know She-Hulk definitely was. They eventually split Star Wars and Marvel stuff apart, which is smart. It really is.
So who knows? I mean, I guess it could be. I mean, who cares? It's going to be sometime in August anyway. I think once you get, if they're saying summer, once you get to September, I think it's hard to say that's summer now, no matter if you're in the Northern Hemisphere.
Technically. I know.
Through
September 21st, right?
I know. Yeah. And it depends. Not where I live. September.
You got some, have latitude, man, or you have longitude on us? Which one is?
I don't know. The cold one, anyway. The murky. We don't got a lot of daylight.
We got a lot of daylight in summer, north.
But we don't got a huge amount of daylight in the winter, and by September it's starting to shift, and the nights are getting kind of, as we would say in Scotland, the lights are fair drawing in.
Besides Ahsoka coming up, there's other things. We know there's going to be a Mando season 4, and we're going to talk a bit about that later on with some other writers' strike related Star Wars news. But something a little bit further down the road is a Dave Filoni movie, something that has been rumored. We've discussed on this podcast in the past the idea of a Mandoverse movie. And people posited a long time ago, you know, the idea the culmination of event could somehow include Thrawn once it was realized, you know, Ahsoka would become a part of this world and things like that.
To be fair, LRM Online kind of revealed all this first at any about 2 or 3 years ago that this was the way, not necessarily that it was going to go into a movie. I will say that we didn't know that. That was purely speculation on our part. But we knew this was all happening at some point. Anyway.
Yep. Anyways, we got the Minim Musad thing wrong. That didn't pan out, but we got a lot of other things correct, including Thrawn's casting. And Dave Filoni has recently confirmed Thrawn will be the main villain of his Star Wars movie. And that came via Empire, said, hey, there's a lot of factors going in, especially playing with a character like Timothy Zahn's Thrawn. I want to make sure that I'm honoring ideas that Tim had. When asked if he sees Thrawn as the main villain, he said, definitely in my eyes, yes, or definitely in my eyes. When Zahn wrote Heir to the Empire, Thrawn became this very iconic villain because he was different than anything we'd seen before. He wasn't another helmet-wearing, lightsaber-wielding bad guy, you know. Of course, he's referencing Heir to the Empire there, which... we got another rumor, this one coming via My Time to Shine. The last thing was an actual quote. This is a rumor, but it's something that we've kind of seen them going to, that the movie Filoni is doing, it will be called Star Wars, Heir to the Empire. Whoops, and I've got the wrong window up. There you guys go. There's the Heir to the Empire rumor from My Time to Shine. Cam, I am of course a huge EU fan, diehard. I've actually read the Heir to the Empire trilogy 3 times in my life and listened to the audiobooks once. I read the books originally when I was in middle school. So, you know, you're talking 96, 97, 98, and then I read them again in I think high school or something like that, and I've read them once as an adult, and then I checked out the audiobooks because why not? Which were great. Mark Thompson does the voice work, really good production value. If you've never given audiobooks a try and you like Heir to the Empire, I highly suggest it. It's actually a really, really good production. And that's to the audience, not just to Cam.
Yeah, I mean, I genuinely just don't listen to audiobooks because it's too slow for me. I read much faster than what you get.
But it's
kind of
cool with the sound effects and the production that you almost don't need it to go
I did try it once. I tried to listen to an audiobook of Dune, and I got about a chapter in and just started reading it because, you know,
Get on with it.
Yeah, it was just too slow for me.
So while I love it and all, one thing I realized a long, long time ago, back in 2015, is that there was no way to use Hamill, Fisher, and Ford to do an Heir to the Empire adaptation going into, you know, Disney.
Maybe the 80s.
Yeah, the 90s. You could have done something 90s. In the 90s easily. But you got to this point where they were just too old, and I was like, you know, as much as I would love to see my EU adapted, you would have to start at the Vong age-wise, and I don't want that. And now I'm scared we are going to get Vong one day. I realized that you would have to do something different. I did realize that the EU was a rich source of information, a rich source of inspiration. I won't even necessarily say information.
You noticed that, but there's someone that didn't seem to notice for a long time.
You mean the person that said that we don't have any source material? No source material.
Yeah.
None.
Who was it said that?
Kathleen Fracking Kennedy, man. I never wanted them to try to necessarily adapt it page for page using the characters, and we're not going to get that, of course. We can't get that. There's so much in Heir to the Empire, the books, that you can't fit into this. So we're going to get an adaptation. Here's my issue with this, though, Cam. One, it's pandering. It's pandering to people like me who have been screaming at the top of our lungs. You guys are ignoring stuff you should have been. You could have marveled this. Yes, you, no matter what, and even calling this Heir to the Empire, you're going to piss off some purists, okay? Even if it's good, you're going to piss off some purists, okay? If it's good, I'm going to say it's good, and I'm going to enjoy it. If it's crap, I'm going to say it's crap, and I'm not going to enjoy it. But it's not going to be based on my desire to see Air adapted page for page. It can't be.
No.
Okay? But it is pandering. And it is, if it isn't good, it waters it down more. You know what I'm saying? So I've got serious concerns.
I think that's kind of looking at, there's a negative both ways there almost, though, and I don't think that's necessarily true. See, I wouldn't say it's pandering. I think it's more just like the studio finally waking up to a better way of working. Because as you say, Marvel basically have taken this formula and became experts at it. So, you know, we even have movies that are named directly after famous comic books, but if you go and read those
just
famous comics,
barely,
they're not
similar.
Similar. There's just a
Civil War,
a
prime example.
It's an idea. It's an inspiration to start a new story off of. And that is a good idea. That's how
they
should have treated the EU from the start. Because our timelines wear out, we couldn't do, not in the 20 teens anyway. By that point, it was when Disney had got a hold of it. It was too late to adapt the EU at that point. So we knew it kind of had to go, but I kind of wish they'd just thought, right, let's adapt some of these ideas a little bit more. Actually going down this route, for example, instead of the ill-advised sequel trilogy would have been far more exciting to fans if they had said, we're actually going to adapt the Empire. But because our actors are all out of ages, we're actually going to set this further in the past and we're going to do it in a different way because, you know, we can't have a young Luke and Leia and Han running about the place, so we're going to get different characters and we're going to use Filoni's Rebels characters, which all existed by that point, you know, and I think it would have it would have sold to fans. They would have went with it. You know, I honestly think. And then, like, giving them more time to say, what do we do next for like, the future? Just give yourself that time. You've made this money. Lovely money's come in. And now you've got the time to set a plan. What do we do next as a proper kind of new trilogy or something like that? Instead, they tried to market it as 7, 8, and 9. And that's where the problems, you know, ultimately come in. I'm kind of pumped for this idea, actually, because I think Dave Filoni is smart enough to say, well, he knows what will work and what fits and what doesn't. He's obviously a fan of those books himself, you know, Star Wars nerd growing up. I think he'll try and take the basic elements and give us a similar story, but with just different players. I mean, Ezra could basically be the Luke. You've got these Jedi, the Bailon and Shin. Yeah, that could be Chorus both. And, you know, you could have the Mara Jade character. But then you add in people like Ahsoka and Sabine into the mix. And, you know, and Mando and Grogu. And, you know, we're starting to get something that's very, very different from any of the stuff that we had on page.
Do they try to maybe amalgamate someone into Mara? Sure. Do I think we get a Mara Jade? I actually do, but I don't think it's going to be the Mara Jade we all
think. I think they could get an idea. Because I think there wouldn't need to be a connection to look for me. The connection should be maybe Ezra. Maybe.
I'm not saying it's going to be Luke and Mara. Yeah, I think we're going to get a Mara. They might even not even call her Mara Jade. I think we'll get a potentially a red-haired character inspired by Mara, but we're not going to get the
character. We're not gonna, that Shin looks like almost pink hair to me, but I mean, maybe I'm looking at it in the scene.
Maybe they amalgamate a Mara into one of the other characters, like you said, using Ezra as the Luke stand-in. But we know that there's dealing with clones. We know that Luke's hand has been seen in the comics. There's a lot of things to bring in the Luke clone, even if you have Ezra face down the Luke clone and you don't bring in regular Luke as the hero, there's things that they could do. The deep fake technology for Skywalker's face and the euthanization of his voice, of Hamill's voice, to make him sound younger is all getting better each time they use it.
I actually think it would take away for this film if they throw Hamill and a de-aged Hamill in as the savior at some point.
No, that's what I'm saying. They don't even have to. They could face just the Luke clone, and it's Ezra in the main hero as the stand-in for the regular Luke Skywalker. That's what I'm saying. Like, there's a way to amalgamate.
Or they might even just not do a Luke clone thing.
They might not even do a Luke clone.
They might just go with the principles of Thrawn taking over the Empire and building it again.
Exactly.
You know,
and that's what my other... That was my other point, was I don't think we're necessarily going to get the Talon card aspect of this at all. The smuggler's side of things, which was very, very important for all of that little stuff, is what made the EU make Star Wars feel like this grand
galaxy. Well, I mean, he's got
galaxy.
To find something
Disney
for
has
the
done,
Mandos.
Disney
and,
has done nothing
like
but shrink the freaking galaxy, man. They shrink it in time. They shrink it in size. They shrink everything. Anyways,
although
you hit exactly what I
a brand new place of the galaxy. So this is kind of opening it up a little bit.
Yeah, we'll see. All hyperspace seems to be instantaneous these days. So you can get across the galaxy in a matter of minutes, it seems. Anyways.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You hit on exactly what I think they're going to do, which is the heir to the Empire, but the Thrawn bits only, which could work really well here. But like I said,
what else Filoni does with the rest of the
if it's good and that what you just said is kind of like my next fear. You and I differed a little bit, but we both had some agreements on the tone of Mando season 3 and the maturity level of it seemed to dip dramatically at times to becoming a live action Rebels cartoon.
However, remember, Filoni was least involved in all the Mando series of that one because he was prepping Ahsoka, and the previous series he was more involved in where
Tony. I'm waiting to see Ahsoka. That's what I was going to say. But I am concerned still a bit, even for Ahsoka, because we saw the reactions to stuff like Obi-Wan Kenobi versus certain cameos in Mando season 3, like Zeb, right? That was his name? You can't. Do you blame me for having concerns about whether or not this will end up being a Rebels movie? And I don't mean just Rebels as in, well, in characters. No. I mean Rebels as in tone.
Because it kind of is the Rebels sequel. So if you're
I'm not talking characters. I'm talking tone.
Yeah,
I'm talking still, childish.
You can imagine why there would be a fear that you would move. Yes. From okay.
Cool. Yeah.
The same thing with the same characters doing the same type of thing. What I would say is,
so yeah, that I've got concerns.
Watch Rebels. You don't like the animation. The animation's irrelevant when it comes to live action, right? But actually, there's a lot of really dark shit going on in Rebels. Some of the darkest stuff that we've actually had in Star Wars in many ways happens in Rebels. So excited me when it got dark at that point, mm-hmm. and if it keeps that tone in this show, then it will work for me. And the trailers so far don't look like a flashy, but then neither did Mando season 3 trailers, so you know, it's hard to say from trailers.
Yeah, and here's the way I kind of look at it. You know, if someone walked up to me and they were like, let me punch you once and you get $100, I'm gonna be like, you know what, I could take a hit for $100, you know, I'm willing to make that trade. If someone's like, let me punch you, hold on, it does kind of depend on who's hitting. But let me punch you 10 times for that same $100. No. my body's worth a bit more than that, buddy. That's what Star Wars is like for me right now. Like the cost of the good in Rebels or the Clone Wars is not worth getting through all the punches in the face. I get so tired of hearing, man, you got to just get past the first like 3 seasons, and then it's really like 2.5 seasons. Then it's really, really good, and
that's
like
Clone Wars. But actually, you could probably, if you watch Rebels just for season 2, you'd probably find something to enjoy. But after you get into a few episodes, you go, like, "This isn't too bad." You know, I don't like this, but this isn't too bad. And then as it goes along, and I've told you about it. I didn't like the world between worlds.
Yeah, it's because it's a dangerous thing to introduce time travel and stuff with Star Wars.
They didn't go too crazy with it in Rebels. Yeah. I just didn't like it, and I wasn't too keen on that storyline specifically. But the other stuff that was going on in Rebels was actually quite interesting, especially with regards to sort of Palpatine and how much you see of him and what he's kind of doing at that period. You know, was sometimes interesting to me as well. So
I don't know. I could never get past how awful beer tasted enough times to acquire the taste. So maybe it's just not in my nature to learn to like things. I hope it's good. I really do, but I worry that this could water it down. It does feel like pandering, because if this had happened maybe before if this had happened sometime after immediately after episode 9 or between 8 and 9, like if this had come earlier, but it feels so much worse because they've ignored it they've pushed it down. They cut it out. They everything they possibly could, while fans, some wanting page for page translations. I didn't. That doesn't make sense. Others like me who are just like, at least acknowledge it. Or, hey, Disney, here's a really, really smart idea, since so many things I've talked about before seem to have eventually found their way into your business plan. How about you continue on the Legends line? How about you let Sword of the Jedi books be printed? What would that hurt? No one thinks it's connected to your stuff anyways. It's free money on the table. Seriously, you should release Sword of the Jedi, at least that. That being said, I worry what it kind of does. I already said that part. It doesn't feel right, man. It feels more like, fine, finally, you guys, when we get it, we finally get it, and we're gonna, and it's like, no, man, it doesn't work. It doesn't work like that, you know. I hope it's good, though. I'm fairly open minded for it.
This is the first time Filoni's been able to build himself to the point where he can actually make something himself, and he's kind of saying, let's do this, you know, let's use these ideas. This is good stuff that we shouldn't leave on the floor. I mean, as long as we don't get one called Darksaber, you know, which was one of my least favorite EU books of all time. But you could even do a Marvel approach and start taking storylines, you know, and turning them into something new. For example, what Rogue Squadron. The Daisy Ridley film, I'm thinking Jedi Academy. We've talked about that before. Yep. Kevin J. Anderson's Jedi Academy books. I mean, why not adapt a similar approach? You could borrow some stuff from it, some characters even, but, you know, replace Luke with Rey and, you know, do all that. And there you go. You've got, and that's into the new Jedi Order era as well, which, you know, kind of fits in with the way the EU books went also.
Yeah, exactly. And you can kind of condense that timeline a bit. Like I said, man, that when I saw New Jedi Order, that's what made me say, you know, are we possibly getting Vong, which I think is dangerous to do. Look, guys, I love the EU, but like I said at the beginning, I have not been one clamoring for... You good?
I need to take a phone call. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Car garage, my car's in the garage.
I've been one that I don't need the page for page. Hell, Cam and I have said multiple times, you could adapt Rogue Squadron right now, set in the sequel trilogy era, right after Rise of Skywalker, where you just promote everyone. Poe is Commander Rogue Squadron. Wedge is Admiral. He takes Ackbar's place since he's dead. I mean, you go and you're like, look, the New Republic's idea of trying to rotate power didn't work. We have to take Coruscant. And you go in and you train Rogue Squadron up for a season, and they go and take Coruscant. There you go. There's a way to adapt source material, Kathleen. Of Rogue
Squadron. And
it would
work better as a TV series, I think, rather than a movie as well, which is something that they're playing with, and it would work better. It's an idea. Just think about it. It's, you know, because you want to, you're not going to have every episode come out and X-Wings dueling and getting into dogfights. That would be your big setups. You would have episodes, it's just characters.
Rogue
Squadron
is very character-driven.
You know, discussing the shit that they got
give
up
it to me.
And the relationships that they get into, you know.
Give it to
We've said it before, kind of like Battlestar Galactica.
Yes.
You know, you've got all the politics that are going along
as
well.
Because they wanted to use Rogue Squadron not just as the tip of the spear, but also as a PR stunt. So the Bottens wanted representation. Celestians wanted representation. And there was politicking going on, because you had the military cats who are like, I don't give a frack who's in the cockpit as long as they're suited for the job.
And it was a bit slowly, methodically taking and dismantling the Empire, which they could now do with the First Order. And as we saw, the New Republic aren't doing a very good job post-Empire, which I think they're setting up so that we understand. They should explain all this in the sequels, but anyway. Yeah, so we understand where the First Order actually came from and how it was allowed to come back. But we can't have that again. We can't go back round and just go circle, circle, circle. So, you know, they need to do something different this time. And that means eradicate the First Order and then have a new galaxy with a new set of problems that need to be resolved in a different way rather than, you know, there's still going to be bad guys doing bad stuff.
And that's all it takes, guys. I mean, there's so much there. That's why I'm really happy about the idea of Mangold's movie being set so far in the past. I've wanted Star Wars to get the hell away from the Empire, from Palpatines and Skywalkers, and I swear to God, do not tell me that name goes back that far. I don't want it going back that we do not need we don't need it we don't anything else on the Heir to the Empire Filoni Thrawn stuff?
Nah, let's talk writer's strike.
Yeah, so the writer's strike is of course affecting a lot of things. There was a whole kerfuffle dealing with Tony Gilroy a week or so ago. Cam got involved in some of that, and I'm not. We don't need to get into that particular story too much. But the point is that the writer's strike, even things that are allegedly done, have been written. Say Mandalorian season 4 scripts. Writer's strike because writers come in and make minor corrections and things like that, and people not wanting to cross picket lines. Production's shutting down, guys. That's part of what the whole Tony Gilroy story is about. If you want more information on that, LRM on online.
Cut a long story short, he isn't working on Andor anymore. He's not been on set since a certain date. But someone did accuse him of kind of being a scab, which was after the date he'd already stopped working on the show. It's a bit unfortunate, but then that person probably didn't have the relevant up-to-date information in the first place.
There you go.
But you know, there are other issues that have arisen as well.
Mando season 4, because like I said, even though Filoni said, "Hey, I wrote the scripts during production on 3 or whatever," Favreau. Again, because of how things are connected and the process that scripts are usually never actually done until they're filmed, until that scene's actually done being filmed.
It's the famous thing they tell us, it's never finished till the day before release. You're constantly wanting things all the time, whether it be editing or script right up until the days of filming.
We could see season 4 of Mando being delayed as well. Kathleen Kennedy also recently confirmed that Taika Waititi's Star Wars script is not written, and there's been no third act turned in, I'm guessing, as far as like a treatment phase or something. Like, he hasn't figured out how to finish the movie.
Finish the story, yeah.
So what does all of that mean, guys? It means there's... Star Wars and Disney are going to be hurting for a bit, depending on how long it takes to settle this particular writer's strike.
What annoys me about these strikes as well, Kyle, and I said this in a piece earlier on, and maybe I'm naive, right, and I'm ignorant of the process, but what's going to happen at the end of this? The writers are going to get what they want or a reasonable deal, aren't they? And then they're all going to go back to work again. It always happens. But the suits have to play this game when they don't give them anything. It goes on and on, and then eventually they give them a deal and they go, "Oh yeah, we'll accept it."
There'll be a deal.
Just did that right away.
There'll be a deal, but here's the thing: it is a war of attrition, and the last writer's strike ended up with the writers getting some stuff, but nowhere near what they were demanding, because the big suits can afford the war of attrition. They can afford the product. They can go to reality TV. They can recycle documentaries. You have people that can rely on huge back catalogs of stuff that they can license out, run reruns that advertisers will eat up. You start thinking of like children's programming, like a Teen Titans or Amazing World of Gumball, endless reruns of that, right? And it makes ad revenue. The writers, if they're not writing, they're not making anything. They get their royalties off of past things, but they're striking for the purpose.
Maybe only the more successful writers, and it's not really striking because it's the problem here, is it?
And they're striking because the royalties and stuff aren't necessarily enough. So no, based on the last one, I don't necessarily think that they will get as much as they were asking for, and especially in the economy today, just like 08, the economy was really, really bad. The last writer's strike started in 07, went through 08, and I can't remember how bad it had been getting by the time the writer's strike ended. But economic times will cause the writers to bend before the studios. That's just business 101 and history, just looking at history. The writers have to eventually write to work, right? Unless they're willing to give up on that dream in general and go get other jobs.
It depends how willing they are to push it, and how willing they are to have a standoff, because eventually Hollywood will run out of ideas if they don't have writers, or they'll start producing crap, or the reality TV shows won't.
Again, the writers except for the most famous successful writers who a lot ended up transitioning beyond writing, where they became producers and directors and things like that.
And this is where
those are the ones that can afford it.
Those big guys to actually step up and say, we're not doing anything either.
Hey, I'm not picking a side. I have no problem with writers getting paid fairly. I'm not standing against them. I'm just telling you what reality is as far as the war of attrition here. The studios can continue to make money for a while. The writers really can't. And like I said, the economy's in a shitty situation right now for everyone. And the writers more so than the studios. And that's going to be the biggest factor right now. It's just like last time. They're just staring each other down and unfortunately, there's a whole of a lot more resources for the studios to subsist on.
We're definitely going to get a gap, aren't we, where we're not going to get anything for a while. It has to be the case, because, Andor's not really able to kind of do what it's needing to do. There's several Marvel shows. Daredevil got shut down due to the writer's strike right in the middle of its production. How long will it take for that to kick off? And then they can't really get all these other things started. So we've got, in terms of Star Wars, if we keep to that, we've got Ahsoka, and we have really skeleton crew in the bag that were all filmed before the strike. Yep. So it's now just editing, so they're fine to do that. That's fine.
They're fine to do that. For now, there's threats of Directors Guild and directors, of course, usually involved.
Somebody like Filoni, who's also a writer, could say, I'm not going to do any more editing on Ahsoka. I don't know.
It's all weird,
but anything else starting after that just seems to be wait and see at the moment, which is strange, because we're running news and it's so and so set up, they've scheduled a date for this, like you talk about, what was that film, like Ghostbusters, it's got a schedule, the new Ghostbusters film has been filming away, what's going to happen with that? Is that just shut down, or is that still filming? And that was filming in New York until last week, as I know.
A lot of them will continue on with as much photography as they can, using B teams and stuff like that, alternate directors or whatnot they're called. They'll film footage establishing. They'll film anything and everything they can that doesn't require a writer on set. But eventually, you run out of that, you run out of things to film on that location, and you can't do anything else without the writer. It sucks, guys. It really does. But business is very, 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 very nuanced, and a lot of people don't even understand why some I'm not taking the studio's side here, but a lot of people won't even understand, well, it's costing them more right now. They're losing out. Not necessarily. You guys are only thinking of that particular aspect of the studio's bigger picture. Okay, so this show being off air, they're losing X amount of revenue. They could have paid writers X amount more money, but now those writers getting X amount more money over an extended period of time. There's more math to it. Again, not taking the studio's side. I'm just saying that
I'm definitely logically, not, you know, to me, the right
logically and numbers that wise, that's from, their mentality.
You know, that writer spirit, you know, that it's if without the writers, you don't have drama, you don't have stories. It's them that make it.
I don't disagree. I do visual, not disagree.
It's a combination of all these people together. But if, you know, if all the directors said we're not directing anything else, nothing else would get made. And,
yeah,
you know, they seem to have more power. And yet, you know, a director's only ever as good sometimes as the script that they pick, and the best directors go and choose the right script. Now, how they put it together is the talent, you know.
Yeah.
So you'll get a different pro if you give Steven Spielberg, and let's pick two really good people. If you pick Steven Spielberg and Martin Scorsese, and you give them the same script, you would get a different film at the end of it.
Oh yeah.
There is more to it than just the story, but without the story, you don't get any film at the end of it, because Martin Scorsese is not a writer, and neither Steven Spielberg. So.
Nope. So, but when it comes down to the mentality and where the starting points are for the parties, everyone should take time to kind of understand where both are coming from. What makes this one incredibly hard to cope with is because each studio currently has a different breaking point. Does that make sense? Like each studio right now is in different various levels of
in danger. And,
well, I mean, in danger financially and things like that. I shouldn't say in danger, but
how much money they've got staked.
Exactly. So some are more willing than others to give more or less. And I'm not even saying that necessarily some of the ones that want to give less have a really good reason, but I'm saying that there is a logic to it. There is a bottom line point. And here's the last thing I'll say on it, as, Jammer and Jonesy were talking about David Zaslav's pay and whether or not that could have funded the gap in loss that streaming took. It wouldn't have. He earned a total of $47 million in earnings from the company, stocks and everything combined last year. The streaming loss last quarter was over $250 million. So no, even taking 100% of Zaslav's pay wouldn't result in covering losses for HBO Max streaming losses. That being said, you could take the majority of the C-suite pay itself and not fund the losses for Disney, for Warner Brothers. Like, business is difficult, ladies and gentlemen. And while, yes, no one necessarily needs $47 million that they would be fine on 46 or whatever, you're still not going to make up for it. The like, it's nuanced, guys. That's all I wanted to say. Anyways, Cam, I'm starting to hurt, so I'm going to wrap it up. Is that cool? You got any other final things?
No. That's the most important news that we've covered.
It was a lot of fun, guys. I miss doing these. So hopefully we'll be back on schedule. Then again, without the writer, there might not be a lot to discuss. But you can find a lot more content here on the Genreverse, because we cover everything you guys can imagine in entertainment, especially Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast right now. Anime content coming all over the place, That sounded awful. Coming out. Anyways, like I said, I'm in pain. My brain is starting to malfunction, guys. Lots of anime content. Check it out. Reactions, reviews. If it's not a reaction video, you can find the podcasts up on all your favorite podcast apps. And of course, written articles, reviews, celebrity interviews, and more at lrmonline.com. Anything else, Cam?
No, I'm good.
All right, guys. May the force be with you.
Say goodbye to your your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.